persecution over the years, and under communism after World War II, Romania was part of the Axis, part of Germany, probably the Nazis, and then they switched in the middle of the war to the Allies, to the good side, and but what happened was the Soviet Union came and they propped up the communist parties. And so Romania became a communist country for many years and had a dictator by the name of Nicolae Ceausescu, a brutal dictator that really suppressed freedom of religion, freedom of almost everything. You had a certain amount of food per month that you were allowed. You had tickets that you were allowed per month, certain amount of eggs, certain amount of sugar, certain amount of flour. You had to wait in line to receive those things. And so it got to be a thing where anytime you would see a line, you would just get in line, even if you did not know what it was for. And then you would get in line and you ask the person in front of you, why are we standing in line? And then eventually it would get to the front of the line and information would get back. Oh, we're standing in line for sugar. And they're like, oh, I already have sugar. I don't need to stand in line. They were so desperate just for things. They said things, and at that time they had money, but they had nothing to buy. Now they have no money, but they have everything to buy. It's just kind of how it's changed. But they didn't have freedom of religion. They would meet from house to house, and maybe you've heard the stories in the Soviet Union under maybe in Eastern Europe, how, and even in China today, where they are not allowed to worship the Lord freely. They would meet in secret. I remember the days my parents and I went there in 1995 in the country of Romania, and I remember even though there was freedom in that time and today, I still remember them shutting the windows and closing the doors and being afraid because there was such a tradition in their churches that they didn't want to alert the authorities that something was going on. And many times I've heard stories where they would actually pray. They would not have announcements in church under communism. They would pray. Everyone would go home and they said, pray, and God will tell you the next time and the next home in the city we're going to meet. And that's how they would have church. You knew you were part of the church when you would all come to the same house. If you didn't show up the wrong place, then you need to pray a little longer for God to tell you. But it's so interesting and it's so powerful. I pray we have that same desire for God. Lord, I want to be led by you, Lord. Wherever it may be, God, I want to be led by you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. But God has been doing great things in Romania the last 15, 20 years. My family has been there. Recently, we have seen gypsy people come to the truth. We have a large group of gypsy people, minority, and they come to the truth, and they're so hungry for the Lord. We've seen 94 receive the Holy Ghost in just the last 2 years, and it's been amazing what God has been doing. We've seen over 200 testify that they've been healed by the name of Jesus. I'm so thankful tonight that we have the freedom to worship Jesus. We have the freedom to come into his presence. We have the freedom to worship him and to love him in the name of Jesus. Amen. We want to show you a video clip of some of those things I've talked about. You'll see some of the baptisms and you'll see people receive the Holy Ghost. And at the beginning, you're going to see the revolution, how impactful that was on the country of Romania. It's just to help you kind of to see what's going on there. And also the sounds. The video presentation is called Hear the Sound. So if you can just tune your ears a little bit and just hear what the Lord is doing and what's happening in the country of Romania. Amen. God bless you.
Of all the revolutions that swept Eastern Europe late last year, only Romania's led to massive bloodshed. It was the most violent, the most confusing, and the least conclusive of all the uprisings.
My family there in the wagon, my mom and dad and my sister. And this is my dad baptizing in Jesus' name. Amen. My dad baptized many people in Jesus'
name. Over 25 years ago, one family answered the call. They have labored and planted. And now we are answering the call of the 20 million souls in Romania.
Vă botez în numele Domnului Iisus Hristos spre iertarea păcatelor voastre.
Amen. Some of the church groups, the Gypsy church group has invited us, and we've seen people receive the Holy Ghost.
Așa. Așa.
Our children's crusades. Many churches do not do anything for the children, so we always believe that the Lord can touch children in Jesus' name. Amen. 11-year-old girl got baptized. This is a young man that got baptized last summer.
Since the fall of communism, the Romanian people have been crying out for revival. Bucharest, the capital city, is a city of over 2 million people and has only one apostolic church. Our vision is to see an apostolic church in each area of the city. The vision does not just stop at these city limits, but reaches far beyond to the 20 million souls of Romania. It is our passion and goal to see an apostolic church in every city and in every village. We will see the vision become reality through Bible school, through conferences, through personal connections in every part of this beautiful country. The sounds of revival is growing stronger each and every day. And by the power of the Spirit of our living God, and by the backing of you, God's people, we will reach Romania with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank the Lord for what he has done. Amen. We're so thankful for what he has done in Romania. And it's only possible from the brothers and sisters here in America that have allowed us to go there in the country of Romania. We thank you so much. God bless you. I'll invite my wife to come and to sing a song. Amen. My wife is from the country of Scotland, and so we had a connection with your pastor there from England. Amen. So we're so thankful that we get to be here. Amen. Let's just worship the Lord and praise the Lord. Amen. I believe the Lord really wants to do something here tonight. Amen.
There's something miraculous that happens when we all lift up his mighty name. And I'm so thankful that we have an opportunity to come into his house one more time and to worship him. Especially in a midweek, sometimes, you know, we can feel weary and we feel, you know, Lord, what can you do for me in a midweek? Or God, what can you do for me on a Tuesday night? But let me tell you, when you come with faith, I believe that God will do whatever you need him to do. He will hear your prayer. He'll minister to you in a great way. All we have to do is open our hearts to him and worship him. So this song we're going to sing, I believe you'll know it. It's Here I Am to Worship. But first we'll sing it in Romanian so you can hear what it's like to be in church with us on a Sunday morning. And then we'll sing in English. Thank you, Jesus.
Lumina lui, ai venit în tu.
place, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above, and humbly you came to the earth you created, oh, for love's sake became poor, and here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Let's sing it together.
Let's exalt his lovely name. Let's worship him and adore him. Oh, he's worthy tonight. Amen. Jesus is worthy tonight. Oh, of worship and praise, oh God. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name, oh God. You are worthy, Lord, tonight. You are worthy, Lord, in my life. You are worthy in my circumstance, oh God. Oh, I exalt you, Jesus. I lift you higher in my life, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You feel the presence of the Lord here. Amen. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. In Psalm 63, the Bible says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Why don't we lift up our hands tonight and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? For it's better than life. Lord, we worship you, Jesus, tonight. We praise you, Lord. You are great and greatly to be praised, Lord. Lord, we exalt you tonight, Lord. Oh, blessed be your holy name, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, it's good to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I'd like to turn in our Bibles. I'd like to preach from the Word of the Lord this evening. And as I preach, I'm going to share stories about Romania and share what God is doing in Romania and to help build our faith tonight, because we have seen God do great and mighty things. And I'm sure you could tell me some stories about how God's done things in your life and how God's done things in this church. Amen. In Acts chapter 18, if we can turn in our Bibles there, and I want to say thank you, Brother Brownie, again for having us, sir. God bless you and bless this church. Amen. I believe there's great things in this church. Amen. I believe there's great things going to happen. Amen. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 1, amen. The Bible says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And skipping down to verse 7 for the sake of our text this evening, and the Bible says in verse 7 of Acts chapter 18, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justin or Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. His house was next door to the synagogue, in other words. And tonight I would like to preach from the Word of the Lord about we are next door to revival. We are next door to revival in Jesus' name. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us through His Word. Lord, we ask, O Lord, that you would speak to us, O God. Touch each and every heart that is in this place, O God. Lord, we take authority, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray every heart, I pray every mind, I pray every spirit, O God, will be in subjection to yours, Lord. Speak to us through your name, O Lord. Speak to us through your word, Lord, and by your spirit, Lord. Confirm your word this evening in our hearts, Lord. We praise you, we worship you, Jesus. Let the church say amen. Amen. Let the church say, in Jesus' name. Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. It's certainly an honor again for us to be here this evening. The word of the Lord is powerful. Amen. And the word of the Lord speaks to us in many different ways. In this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 18, Paul was the first missionary. Paul was the one that went around the world of the known world of that time and was preaching the gospel of Jesus. He was preaching the gospel to whoever would listen. And he was led of the Lord. And the Bible talks about in Acts chapter 18 how he came to the city of Corinth. And now, Paul was on his second missionary journey here, and he had already been through many trials already on this missionary journey. You know the instance where him and Barnabas had a falling out over John Mark, and it was at that beginning that Paul started his missionary journey. Barnabas and them, they separated their ways, and later on in the journey, Paul came to Philippi. And Romania is not that far from Greece, actually. And we were just there, I think, last November, October. There we go. I think I get it right. My wife helps me very much. We were there at a missionary retreat, and we were there, and we got to go see Philippi, the ruins there. And we got to see where they think that that Paul and Silas was there in prison, and it was so moving to see that it something with your own eyes, and it was actually something that was there, and not just something we read about, but it was something that we could comprehend. And he was there. You know the story how he was beaten and how he was in prison, and there was a great earthquake that happened, and eventually we know that the Philippian jailer came to the Lord and was baptized. But then Paul went to Thessaloniki, and he was there that there was an uproar among the people, and after that he went to Berea, where Jews stirred up the people against him, and he went to Athens, and you know the message of what Paul preached on Mars Hill. It was a beautiful message. It was an eloquent message. He used the poets of the Greeks. It was a great message, and if there was any message that you would think would do something, or it would impact someone, or someone would come to know the Lord, it would probably be that message. Paul preached a great message. But still, he was frustrated because the people didn't come to the Lord. There were a few that came to the Lord of a few houses, but he didn't really get the response that he was looking for and that he was preaching for. I feel like that many times, that we do all we can, but still we can't seem to get the response that we want. We preach and we witness and we testify to our family, our friends, and still we feel disappointed many times because it didn't seem like they understood, or it felt like they didn't comprehend what we were speaking about. And then Paul went, in verse 1 we read that he departed from Athens and he went to Corinth. Now, Corinth was a very sinful city. It was one of the most sinful cities there at that time. And he was there, and we can read on in verse 2 that he found some friends, Aquila and Priscilla, that came from Italy. And he made a friendship with them, and they were of the same craft. In verse 3, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation, they were tent makers. So they worked together, and there was a friendship. They had the same faith and the same belief in Jesus. And in verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. He was doing his best to reach someone. He was doing his best to preach Jesus. He was doing his best. In verse 5, the Bible says, and when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. He preached with everything that he had. He gave all that he had. He was pressed in the spirit. And in verse 6, and they opposed themselves and blasphemed and shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. He did everything. He persuaded. He tried to do everything he could. We can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, his letter to the Corinthians. And he explains this, what I'm talking about this evening. He explains kind of how he came to the Corinthians there in that city. And Corinth had a population of around 600,000, so it was a large city. And that day, it was a very large city. I believe the size of Milwaukee, my wife looked that up. I believe Milwaukee has about that amount of people or more. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1, the Bible says, and Paul was writing here, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." He said, "I already tried the excellency of speech in Athens. I've already tried those things. I didn't come to you in man's wisdom, but I came to preach Jesus unto you." But still, his message never seemed to penetrate, never seemed to work, and he was frustrated. We were in Romania. I pastored the church in Bucharest, a city of 3 million people. And I was preaching there. We were after service. At the end of my message, we had a time of prayer. And there was a lady that came up to the front, and we prayed for her. She had pain in her head. We prayed for her with anointing oil in the name of Jesus, and God completely healed her. She had no more pain in her head. And she was leaving the church that morning, and I asked her if we can have a Bible study in her home. And she said yes. And she lived maybe 2-3 minutes from our church door, and they were a Muslim family, so I did not know how they would react to me coming over to their home and preaching Jesus. But I did. I came Wednesday night, and I went there, and it wasn't much of a home. It was kind of a shack almost. You know, they had some cardboard, some tin, and just kind of put a house together. And I sat there on the couch, and I did my Bible study, and I did it the best I could, but still it felt like I didn't feel anything. People were looking at me and they didn't know, understand what I was talking about. And I was like, well, I said, can we pray? I said, maybe we're just going to try again. We're going to pray. I said, does someone need healing? I believe Jesus can heal right now. And there was a man that was beside me and he said, I need prayer. I said, excellent, let's pray. I don't know what else to do, but let's just pray. And the lady that had been to our church the Sunday before, the one that God had healed a pain in her head, she came up to me and she said, Brother Daniel, do you have any of that special liquid with you that you had on Sunday? And she was talking about the anointing oil. And I said, I don't have any special liquid with me. I said, I usually carry some with me. I said, but I don't. I said, but Jesus is here. And Jesus can touch and Jesus can heal because Jesus is in the house. And I said, but if you have some cooking oil or something, we can use that. I said, I believe it. It's in the Bible. And she said, okay. So she got this big bottle of oil that she had by her stove, and she grabbed it. And I stuck out my hand, and she took off the top of the bottle, and she started pouring it onto my hands. And she didn't, you know, we only need a little bit, right, Brother Brownie? We only need a little bit of oil because we have a big God. And I didn't understand. She didn't understand. And it felt like I was getting to a brick wall. It felt like maybe there wasn't a connection. They didn't understand, but there was a little bit of faith. And maybe they didn't understand everything, but there was a little bit of faith. And she said, and I said, absolutely. And I started praying for that man. The presence of God filled that little home there. And a lady from that family has come to church and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and been baptized in Jesus' name. That 11-year-old girl is from that family, been baptized in the name of Jesus. Maybe we don't understand everything. Maybe they don't understand everything. Maybe your family or your friends or the people you're witnessing to, maybe they don't understand everything. But let me tell you, Jesus can lead and guide us. Amen. In verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, after, again, continue on with this passage, Paul said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Verse 3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Now, we are not just talking about anybody. We're talking about Paul, the great apostle Paul, the first missionary Paul, the Paul where he would preach and people would receive the Holy Ghost, and the Paul where he would pray and people would be healed. But still, there was something he said, "I was in fear. I was in trembling. I was in weakness." Failure was at every city that he went to, every synagogue, and on every Sunday that he seemed to preach. The Bible says he went there every Sabbath to preach, but every door seemed to be closed. Have you been there in your life? Seems like every door is closed. But afterwards, he said he was pressed in the Spirit, and he was pressed by the Lord, and he said, I am going to go to the Gentiles now. And he walked out the door. Again, this is a big city. And he went next door. He knew that it wasn't happening where he was at. So he went out the door and he went to the next house. In verse 7, the Bible said, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Maybe it was next door. Maybe it was in the same complex. We don't exactly know from history and from the archaeological part. But what we do know, it was very close to the synagogue. And he went next door. And the Bible says that great things started happening when he went next door. The Bible says in verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many, in verse 8, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized when Paul went next door. Now, I'm sure when he was feeling the failure, he had that same song that we sang about today. And that touched me, that song that we sang about. It says, through you, I can do anything. Through you, I can do all things. Nothing is impossible with you. For you, God, give me strength. And Paul didn't change his message. Paul didn't try to preach another gospel, or Paul didn't try to preach another message, but he said, I'm going to preach the same message, and I'm going to go next door to where there's someone that's hungry for God. I'm not just going to go home and cry in the corner, or I'm just not going to go home and say, well, no one wants to hear. He said, I'm going to go next door to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, church, we need more than ever in this day and hour. We need the Lord to direct us, and we need the Lord to guide us in our evangelism and our speaking out. We need the Lord to direct us to people. Amen. We need the Lord to tell us, you need to go to talk to that person, or that person is going through a situation and you need to go and preach the word and just give them an encouragement. Maybe we don't understand everything, and maybe we feel like failure after failure, and maybe we've gone to our neighbor before and we feel like they have rejected the truth. But try again. What the Lord leads you, try again. Let me tell you, church, the Lord is going to lead us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not the best people just to market everything, right? But we are led by the Holy Ghost. We can go to a place where someone is hurting and someone is crying. My dad went to a group of pastors, and he preached Jesus' name baptism, the oneness of God to them, Again, it didn't seem like much was happening, and they understood a little bit, but didn't seem to understand the fullness of truth, and the mighty God in Christ, the oneness of God. And so we didn't know what to do. We just going to leave it in the hands of the Lord. And we went back home to our church, and it was 3 or 4 hours away. I was not with them at the time, but later on, and we had to come on deputation. And it's a time where we have to come to the States and raise our support to go back to the country. And we were gone a year. We had not heard from those pastors at all. We had not heard from them. They did not even know we were gone. We didn't even tell them we were gone. We were just praying for them. And when we had come back to Romania, we were gone for over a year. We came back to Romania. And the second day that we arrived, my dad got a phone call. He picked up the phone and he said, hello, Brother Padure. And Brother Padure said, hello. He said, I have been studying the Bible for 1 year, the whole time that we were gone. He said, I've been studying the Bible for myself. And he said, I have seen it. He said, there is no God like Jesus. He said, I believe that we must be baptized in the name of Jesus. He said, when can you come and baptize me in Jesus' name? We didn't even have a car. We had just gotten there. We didn't have our home. We didn't have a car. So we had to arrange all those things. In our first trip, we went to see this man. And after a few trips, we went to baptize him in the name of Jesus. And we thought we were going to go to a river. We didn't have a baptistry. He did not even have indoor plumbing. He had no bathtub. He had nothing in his home. He was very poor. And we went down a dirt road. And so we were going to baptize him in the river. Well, his whole family wanted to come, and everyone wanted to come, and we only had one car. So we're thinking, this is not going to work. It's about 20 minutes drive to the river. And so we were just kind of thinking about, just sitting there and thinking, and the pastor said, I have an idea. He said, one of my neighbors down the road is selling their bathtub. He said, we can buy it for $20, and you can come baptize me in the name of Jesus. So he sent his two sons. They came with the bathtub, and we baptized them in the name of Jesus. Maybe it didn't seem like it was going to work out at first, but when we are led of the Lord, when we pray, God, lead me and guide me, Lord, then let me tell you, the Lord does the work. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, again, the same passage of Scripture. Paul said, "In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't preach man's wisdom. He didn't preach a fable or a gossip or something that maybe this world thinks or a philosophy. But he preached Jesus. He said, I preach Jesus and him crucified. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, this is the gospel that Paul preached, and he lays it out again. He said, moreover, brethren, again, this is him writing to the Corinthians, the same church that was started here in Acts chapter 18. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. He said, I preached this gospel unto you when I arrived there, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. How many know we are saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ? If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. He said, there is a danger that you can receive the gospel and you can forget the gospel. He said, but keep in memory. In other words, remember what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And this is what the gospel is. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. When we come to him and die of our sins through repentance and say, God, I don't want to live this life anymore. God, forgive me. I turn to you, Lord. And we are buried with him in baptism in Jesus' name. And we are resurrected again to new life and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I didn't preach another gospel unto you, but I preached the gospel unto you, for there is no other gospel. And he said, I preached it unto you, and you have believed, and you are saved by this gospel. If you keep in memory the gospel saves us, and the gospel empowers us, the gospel helps us to go forward in Jesus' name. We need to preach the gospel to everyone. In Romania, there are many people that have never heard this precious gospel. And that is why we are there, to preach the name of Jesus, to preach the gospel unto them. And I know there are people here in this city that need to hear the gospel. There are people that live next door to you that need to hear the gospel. There are people that are your community and people that don't understand the truth, or people that you are working with and that you love that need to hear this gospel. Paul did not just stay where he was at, but he went next door. He did not just go back to his friends, Aquila and Priscilla, and say, well, I'm just going to pack up my business and I'm going to go on now. Seems like no one wants to hear. But he went. He tried again. He tried again. And he reached out further than he ever reached out. I know we all talk about reaching the world, but we need to reach our neighbors. We need to reach our city. We need to reach our community. We need to reach our family and reach our friends. Worldwide mission starts next door. There could be a Romanian next door to you. I know there are Romanians here, in many in Detroit, I've heard. And maybe you know of some Romanians that you've worked with or in your community. And let me tell you, you could reach them and they can go back to Romania and start a church in Romania. You could start a worldwide revival by reaching that person that you know. I want to bring someone to church. I want to witness to them. I want to be led of the Holy Ghost. Again, when we first arrived in Romania, we arrived in 1995. And a few years after that, we got a contact from Canada of a guy that got into the church there in Canada. And he wanted us to reach his family. He said, you must go to my family and preach the gospel to them. He said, they need to hear this, what I've received here. And we said, absolutely. And so we went, got in our car, and we drove, I think about, you know, back in those days, the roads were very bad. I think maybe about 5 hours it took for us to get there. And, you know, many times we don't know what we're going to, what to expect, right? We just walk in the door and just expect, we don't know. We just want God to move. We just want to be his witness. We want to be his ambassador. And so we walked in there, and we walked in the gate, and we sat out in the courtyard. They had like a vineyard, just a grapevines, and many houses in Romania had that. And we just sat there under the grapevines, and they had the tables and chairs. And my dad opened his Bible, and he started preaching the word. They asked him, can you preach? And so he started preaching a message. So he preached the message, and afterwards, they kind of all looked around at each other, and they said to my father, preach again. So he said, okay. So he found another message, and he preached again. And he preached that second time, and afterwards, there was no response, and they said, preach again. And he said, okay, and he preached again. So after this message tonight, I have about a couple more messages, if you would like to hear. No. But he preached again. They were so hungry for the Lord. They were so hungry for the Word of God. We spent 4 or 5 hours there just preaching the Word, just preaching the gospel. And after that time, they said, my dad's talked about baptism. They said, we want to be baptized. So we walked to the river, and 3 were baptized in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, church, people are hungry for the Lord. We just need to go to them. We just need to preach the gospel. We need to be sensitive to the Lord. God, wherever you lead me, God, I will go. Keep reaching. Keep preaching. God has a people for you to reach. Good news is meant to be spoken. Amen? Good news is meant to be spoken. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to finish this passage of scripture in Acts chapter 18. There's no other way I would rather finish it than with these words that the Lord spoke to Paul. Again, in verse 8, in Acts chapter 18, verse 8, the Bible says that many Corinthians, many of the people hearing the word, they believed and they were baptized. And in verse 9, then spake the Lord to Paul. In other words, just to kind of give some context here, it was after the revival. Then the Lord spoke to Paul. In the night, by vision, he said, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Paul got a revelation from God. There were many people in that city that wanted to hear the truth. And Paul was the one to preach the gospel to them. And in verse 11, the Bible says, and he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. It was the longest time that Paul would spend with the congregation after starting the church. He spent over 1 year because he got a revelation from God. There were many people that needed to hear this gospel. Amen? And I believe that there are many people in this town. I believe there are many people in this city. I believe there are many people in this world that are hungry for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are hungry not for food, but they are hungry for God. And coming to a close here this evening, amen, if some musicians can come, I want to have a time of prayer here because I do believe we need to pray for our family and our friends. And maybe even as I'm preaching here today, I believe the Lord, maybe some of you have put names on your hearts and you're thinking, I need to go do that. I need to go tell them. The Lord is prodding you and instructing you to do that. I want to leave you with one more story of we were in Romania in a northern part of the country in a remote village. And we were having a seminar and there were different pastors there and groups of young people that were there. And Saturday morning, we started early and we taught. And it came time for lunchtime and we had steaks. We wanted to do something nice for everyone. They didn't get to have good food sometimes like we got to have all the time. So we wanted to do something nice. We had a good lunch. And I was noticing that there was a group of about 6 young men. And every one of those young men were eating. You know how teenagers do. They were eating and enjoying food. I was eating. I was enjoying food. But there was one young man, about 13, 14, maybe about 15 years old. He was a tall young man. And it touched my heart because I saw him. He was not eating. And I thought, why? I was, this is his opportunity. I'm eating. I'm enjoying. Everyone is enjoying it around him. But he was not eating. He was looking down. He had his notes there that we had at the seminar, and he was just studying, and everyone else was enjoying it. Everyone was having a good time, and you know how we do at church. We like to eat, right? We like to have a good time, and I noticed that, and afterwards, our class afterwards was how to pray for someone to receive the Holy Ghost, and now many churches in Romania, I'm not talking about our Jesus name churches, but many churches, they don't believe young people can be baptized until they're 18 or they can receive the Holy Ghost or anything. So they're very outcast. Their young people are not really welcome, or children are not welcome in church. And so our minister there that day, he asked, does someone here want to receive the Holy Ghost? And that young man, he raised his hand. He said, I want to receive the Holy Ghost. And he came up to the front. And afterwards, I realized that this young man was fasting to receive the Holy Ghost. Someone told me that this young man was fasting. He came up to the front, and God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He was hungry for God. He was hungry for God. And maybe no one else understood why he was doing it. I didn't understand. And I really felt convicted because my parents have been in the truth and I've been able to grow up in the church. I've been privileged all my life. But still there was this young man that didn't have any opportunity and had no privilege. But he was hungry for God. And he had a desire for something more in his life. He had a desire for God. And many, there were about 5 young men that received the Holy Ghost that day. It was awesome to see. But let me tell you, church, today, there are people in this world. There are people in this city. There are people that are hungry for the Lord. And I pray and I ask you not to give up on them. Not to give up on them. To keep praying. When you pray daily and you take your time to get on your knees before God and read your Bible, say, God, lead me to a person today, God. Lead me to that soul that is hurting. God, lead me to someone here today. Because I promise you, there is people that are hungry for God. Maybe you feel like Paul, and every time it feels like there's a dead end and there's a roadblock, and it doesn't feel like my words are getting 2 feet or 5 inches from my mouth. But let me tell you today, the Lord has a people. And he's calling our people today. Amen. Why don't we stand here this evening? Amen. And I want to take this time, if you would like to come to this altar to pray, or if you would like to stay in your pews, whatever you feel comfortable with. But I do ask you to pray. I do ask you to pray. And I ask you to pray for those people. But also, I would ask you to pray for the Lord to direct you. God, I pray for myself, God. Direct me, oh God. I don't want to be so busy, God, that I miss an opportunity to witness to someone, to talk to someone about you, Lord. Why don't we all pray right now in the name of Jesus? God, we come before you, God.